The unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. So, hello, nice to see everyone. last Sunday, Reverend Master Enya gave a wonderful Dharma talk on spiritual friendship, and she started it, and I went, that's what I'm going to talk about. And then I thought, well, so what? We're different monks, we have different things, but we're going to share some of the same thoughts, but it's coming through my particular filter. So if you haven't listened to hers, by all means do. I don't think you'll be bored on this subject. It's quite expansive. So she also started with this. It was a teaching of the Buddha. And I'm going to read it, maybe, or just paraphrase it. Ananda came to the Buddha and he said, Lord, and Ananda was always asking the Buddha wonderful questions for us, really. So anyway, he said to the Buddha, Lord, is spiritual friendship half of the holy life? And the Buddha said, not so, Ananda. He's often saying, not so, Ananda, and then taking him deeper. Okay. This is the entire spiritual life. That is, good friendship, good companionship, good comradeship. When a monk has a good friend, a good companion, a good comrade, it is expected that he or she or they will develop and cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the way to enlightenment. So I am going to talk about also that spiritual friendship is the whole of the holy life. And one of the things I want to start off with is the Buddha was teaching from a place that we are training towards. And so we tend to hear his teaching and go, bring it down to where we are. But actually, his teaching is to be looked up and say, oh, maybe he's thinking something beyond what I'm thinking. So it's always good to allow ourselves to go deeper. And when he says it's the whole of the holy life, it's really good to ask ourselves, well, what does he mean by that? And part of what he meant, and Reverend Enya touched on this, and I will too, because it's a huge part of our practice. But actually, the Buddha is our friend, and we take refuge in the Buddha, of course. This is becoming a Buddhist, is to take refuge in the Buddha, one of the three refuges. The Dharma and the Sangha are the other two. But it's also that we are recognizing the importance of something greater than ourselves going on. And that kind of opens our heart to ourselves and to others. I happen to love the Diamond Sutra. I often chant it for the benefit of other beings, a chapter at a time. it takes about 40 minutes to chant the whole thing. And so in that 40 minutes of chanting, the Buddha says several times in the scripture, those who understand, chant, follow, practice, four lines of this sutra, I will be with, I will be intimate with. So that's a really important thing. This is much bigger. Four lines out of something that takes 40 minutes to describe. And he says, I'll be with you if you follow this. So this is really important. It's really important that we practice the Dharma and that we open to the Buddha nature, to the Buddha within us. And that is actually a part of the profound aspect of spiritual friendship. When I first came to the monastery a long time ago, and I walked through the gates, and I felt like I had come home. And I also felt safe here. Now, things can go awry. The bad people can come. You know, nothing is permanent. But that safety that we get when we practice spiritually stays with us. No one can take that away from us. They can try, but no, they can't. That safety is a part of us. And that's, to some extent, what spiritual friendship is about. Being able to be safe with another person, to trust another person, and also to be spiritual friends with ourselves. And there's a couple of things that we need to keep in mind when we're training. We have to recognize our own trusting heart, and we have to use wise discernment, because everybody knows somebody goes, oh, this is a guru, they're wonderful, I can give them all my money, I can do all this. And then the person is really just an ordinary person pretending to be a guru. And so you have to have wise discernment. You have to be able to go into spiritual friendship with your eyes wide open. So I think that is part of the whole of the holy life that the Buddha is talking about. He himself told others to be discerning, to know for yourself that you can trust and go ahead. So don't disregard the red flags, because we almost always get them, and trust them. And that is actually a part of spiritual friendship. Because when you're looking for red flags and then you open and you don't see any red flags, then you know you can take the next step. It's a very important thing. Spiritual friendship is a jewel. It's that incredible gift of getting to train with others and share the Dharma with them and hold them, and they hold us. And there's this beautiful exchange that goes on in a spiritual friendship. And we all have that. And it's about support. But it's not about advice. We all know how the mind works. The mind says, oh, I know what this person should do. Well, actually, that's not friendship. That's the ego. That's selfish. But when we go and we listen to another, and we have faith in another, and we give them that space to find their own way, that's spiritual friendship. Someone told me they had a friend tell them once, when they were in a really hard time, I've seen you in hard times before. I don't know what the answer is here, but I know you'll get through it. That's a spiritual friendship. That's what matters. So there's a faith in spiritual friendship. We have faith in another, and we have faith in ourselves. So here's a red flag. If you're complaining to your spiritual friend, if you're breaking the precepts and speaking against others, this is not spiritual friendship. This is self. So be on the lookout for something like that. Because spiritual friendship has to be preceptual, and it has to be nourishing. So those are its qualities. And a big part of spiritual friendship is you both have to be working on yourselves, and you both have to have a refuge with your own heart and listening. The Buddha has to be your spiritual friend. Now, that doesn't mean I have some spiritual friends who are of different religion than I am, but we meet on that spiritual friendship level of supporting each other's practice and share the things we have in common, because we all have a lot in common. We're more alike than we are different. So over the years, part of my own spiritual friendship to myself has been to learn to be kind to myself, to be a friend to myself. This is incredibly important, because I'm speaking from personal experience. Sometimes we have to look at very difficult things. And if we're not kind to ourselves, we can't look at them. We really kind of either judge ourselves or judge the other person, and it's not conducive to growing. So in order to open up to others, I think this is what the Buddha was talking about it being the whole of the holy life. This is our practice. We have to be kind to ourselves. When you start listening and observing your mind, you realize that often we say terrible things about each other. And I've talked about this before, but in other Dharma talks, because it's been fundamental to giving myself that ability to face whatever I need to face. And that is that kindness, that don't judge yourself, you are doing the best you can, no matter where it was. And if you can hold that for yourself, then you start holding it for others. Because we're not supposed to judge other people, and we're not supposed to think, oh, they could have done that different. So that judgmental aspect of our mind, our habitual patterns, actually is offset by our willingness to be kind to ourselves, because then we know, oh, I've really screwed up. We need to see we've really messed up. It's very important. And if you don't look because it's too painful, then you're missing. You're not able to do that really deeply for another. And that witnessing each other is part of what spiritual friendship is about. Now, sometimes we have people that we've been friends with, or they're family members, and we have this karmic relationship with them. And they've gone on, we've gone on, they've died, we're still alive. And there's an aspect of the relationship where we have not been friends. And so I am saying that spiritual friendship goes on. We create it. We're always becoming spiritual friends. So I know for myself that there's a situation where I'm dealing with the karmic wake of something. And it's by being a friend to myself that I finally have been turning towards something in the past, and then just being willing to see it and look at it. And actually that's softening now, and there's the ability to realize, oh, I could have done that when that was going on. I didn't look because, and I'm sure we all know this, we don't look sometimes because we're afraid everything will get worse, so we don't want to see. We all do that. I understand that. And whenever we do look, we don't have to change. We just have to see. And then the change occurs naturally through our meditation, through our training. And I can say from personal experience, some of the things I went through that were very difficult for me, and I was afraid to look, that was the reason. And now I'm looking, and I'm going, oh, okay. It's not like I can, oh, I'm going to learn this and then I'll never make that mistake again. That's not the solution. The real heart of it is, can I just be still? Can I just look? That's being a friend to yourself. That's spiritual friendship. So it's an interior and exterior spiritual friendship. Interior, ourselves. Exterior, others. Not separate. Interdependent. Mixing. So in spite of ourselves, I think, that selfish self or all our bumbling along, spiritual friendship actually lubricates our spiritual practice, which is another reason why I think the Buddha said it's the whole of the holy life, because it keeps us moving. It keeps us going different. It challenges us. It inspires us. And it guides us towards whatever precepts or paramitas we need to pay attention to. And a friend can help us with that. We can tell a friend anything. And that's very important. Now, I think you get the point that it isn't about, oh, I have some spiritual friends. Because we all do. We all have some people we're closer to than others. But one of the things I loved about Reverend Master Jihyu was we were all friends. She would call us friends. And I had that sense. We were a friend. And here's this person who obviously has trained a long time, and I feel like I'm this little worm. But she was very kind, very friendly. And so really, spiritual friendship is on the one hand, those who we train closely with, and on the other hand, everyone is potentially our spiritual friend. And that can be very challenging, as we know, because sometimes people are very hard for us. They're threatening or whatever. And so I know from reading the Dhammapada and seeing how the Buddha reacted to people who were rude, he was equal. He was equanimous with them. He didn't push them away. He didn't go along. He sometimes, to someone who was angry at him, he said, if I don't eat the food, who does the food that's being served to me, who does the food belong to? And the person who was angry at him said, well, it belongs to me. It belongs to, if I served you a meal, it belongs to me if you don't eat it. He said, great, that's what you can do with your anger. But not so. And that's spiritual friendship, because that's being willing to say something that's difficult for the other person. But there was no judgment. It was the anger that was the problem, not the person. And that's very hard to train with, as we all know. So it's a tall order. And this is why, again, the Buddha said it's the whole of the holy life, because this is big. This is really hard. Really, Buddha nature, Buddhahood, all of that is about equality. It is about equality and emptiness and interdependence. And that is what spiritual friendship is about. There's this equality in the relationship. There's this interdependence in the relationship. And there is this openness and profundity in the relationship. So that is, again, why spiritual friendship is the whole of the holy life. Now, I think it's really important to be grateful for our spiritual friends, because sometimes they tell us things that we don't want to hear, but they tell us the truth because they care about us. And Or they let us say the things that are difficult for us to say. And I have had an experience of someone telling me something, and it wasn't until I was face down in the mud from having done the very thing they suggested I not do, that I went, oh, thank you. That was really good advice. So, spiritual friendship is messy at times, often because of us. But anyway, so you're getting the point that one of the signs of spiritual friendship is the feeling afterwards that the exchange between you was a privilege, that you feel gratitude for this person who is a spiritual friend. So think about that. If people who are difficult, if we can see them as friends, then we can be grateful for what they are showing us. Even if they're showing us something we don't like, oftentimes it's something about ourselves we need to see. So it's a real incredible potential to be grateful for a lot of what happens to us in our life, moment by moment, is through the spiritual friendship or through the concept of this person is my friend, this person is my friend. It's a very different way of looking at it. Now, Reverend Astor and I went down to a meditation group in outside of Auburn, and we were talking about aging, and we were talking about dementia in the light of spiritual friendship recently. So I want to also say there is an aspect of spiritual friendship. If someone has cognitive issues, i.e. they have Alzheimer's or are demented or whatever, and we say, oh, they don't recognize me anymore, so why should I go see them or why should I care? But that's not true. Actually, we connect with people in a very deep way if we want to. And spiritual friendship is about knowing that heart to heart we can always communicate. And there are many people, myself included, who have experienced someone not remembering me, me not caring about it, and we had a wonderful connection because the Buddha nature, Buddha recognizes Buddha and Buddha bows to Buddha. That's inherent in all our exchanges. So I remember my brother-in-law telling me when my sister, who had Alzheimer's, when she was, you know, probably the last couple of weeks of her life, she stopped talking completely. And he said, I always knew she was grateful. You know, so it's like spiritual friendship is about our heart. So it's really about us opening up to different ways of communication. And I think those different ways of communication can involve telepathy, they can involve nonverbal communication, heart-to-heart thoughts. Our thoughts are really powerful. That's one reason why we try and train our minds, because our minds can be exceedingly crabby. And so when we allow that crabbiness to continue, even if we're not saying crabby things to other people, it gets projected. It's like people know we're being crabby about them. And yet, so then if we're trying to be kind to ourselves and others and reduce those crabby little thoughts that arise or let them go or pluck them away, then lo and behold, someone can feel better about us without knowing why. But if we watch our mind, we know why. So spiritual friendship is all of these things. And this is why the Buddha said it was the whole of the holy life. So spiritual friendship, like spiritual training, is boundless. It's ever expanding. It's always going on. And because of that, we're going to have a lovely retreat this week. So thank you all. Take care.